This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
We welcome you to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond just talking about the Christian talk and walking the walk. And, you know, one of the great challenges today is for those who go to college, how do you prepare? We hear statistics such as 80% of those who are in the church end up in college age, whether they go to college or not, leaving the church. And how do we make a difference here? In fact, how can students who are going to college make a positive difference in that new environment? We have with us Sean McDowell. Dr. McDowell is just in love with this topic. He's actually an assistant professor in Christian apologetics at Biola University. He travels, he speaks. He's written a number of books, 15 books, and also co-authored books with his father. You may know the name, Josh McDowell. And Sean is with us right now traveling. He's on a road with his family, with his wife Stephanie and his three young children in between games. Sean, this is a fun way to do an interview.
Hey, Bill, thanks for flexing and making it work. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, we don't mind if they want to pipe in with their insights, because I'm sure ages, what you said, 2.5 and 5 and 8, is that it?
2.5, 8, and 11. But if you give my kids permission, they've got a lot to say.
All right. And Stephanie might correct you a few times. So this is great. He's not driving, so we can all relax now as we take this road together, really around the topic of apologetics for the college scene. Okay, Sean, why did you find yourself interested in this topic?
You know, I've been teaching high school for about 10 years full time. In the last 2 years, I've gone part time. And I've seen so many of my students graduate, go into the university, and just have their faith kind of picked apart by being in classes presented from a different world. You have a professor who's intentional or unintentionally challenging their belief systems. And just seeing a lot of my students get out into the world and seeing a lot of young people around the country and just kind of disconnect the church, like you said. So my heart for the next generation is starting to rethink, and what do we need to do better? What are we doing right? What do we need to change to help young people graduate, move into working, move into the university, move into the military, wherever they go, and be able to just stand strong and boldly for their faith? And also, as a father, I want my three kids to leave home when it's time and be able to thrive in their faith. So it's a very personal question for me.
You might have almost ruined our interview. You talk about them wanting to have you wanting them to leave home. So, Sean, you're not a person that says then that those who are interested in more education beyond high school should avoid college. That's not your stance. Is that right?
I get asked the question a lot. Should a kid go to a public school or a private school? And my answer is, so much of that depends upon the kid. I had a young girl that I took on apologetic trips with our whole class, really poured into her, and she is thriving at a public school in California because she knows what she believes, she has conviction, she has character, she has a support group. She probably is doing best at a public school. But as a whole, I think she's kind of the exception. I don't think most of our students are spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and intellectually ready for the kind of challenge that arrive at the university. So I'm not going to say they all should or they all shouldn't, but I think we need to know those kids well. We need to look at where their hearts are, look at where they best thrive. And I teach at Biola because I just deeply believe in a Christian education. This is such a formative time for young people, and it was for me. I look back at my own life, and I started to have some real questions in my college years. And number one, it was Christians around me that just relationally cared for me and gave me space kind of for my soul to work through these questions. But second, I had the resource to answer these questions. So I am all for higher education. But I think it's foolish if we just send any kid to a public secular school without preparing them or knowing their hearts. That is one reason, not the only reason. That is one reason why many young people are disengaged in their faith.
And you're a bio-Christian environment. I went to a Christian college, and I learned a simple truth that I think everybody needs to hear, and I want you to comment on this. Just because you're in a Christian school, a campus that has policies around the Christian faith, it doesn't make you suddenly spiritually secure. You will be challenged there with spiritual attack and people who doubt, students who aren't living the faith the way they ought. You still have to be prepared. Would you agree with that or not?
I totally agree with you, Bill. I mean, there is no perfect formula that can make anybody believe, because human beings have free will. So you're right. Now, it's certainly a positive thing, and I encourage parents to do that. But also keep in mind that not all Christian schools are the same. I mean, just the title Christian school can be a wide range of kind of beliefs. So before you just assume I'm sending my kid to Christian school, they're going to be fine, find out what the philosophy of that school is. Go look and see, what are these kids getting in their Bible classes? I had a kid graduate from my class, and he went to a well-known university in Southern California, Christian school. I won't mention its name, but he specifically had professors having him read all this kind of material from the other side. Now, I'm in favor of reading both sides. I have my students do that. But they had them read it, and they didn't expose them how to think critically about it. They didn't expose them to the other side. And in some ways, kind of fostered skepticism within the student at a Christian school. And to me, it's so upsetting. And I don't think most Christian schools do that. But parents need to know ahead of time, what are the qualifications of the pastors that are there, the professors that are there, what's the spiritual state of the campus, what is the student going to be studying? Go the extra mile and find that stuff out, and just don't take it for granted.
And I'd like to add, I for years traveled and spoke in seminaries. Same problem there. You think, okay, training ground for pastors, that's safe. No, a great number of the 250 seminaries in North America are off track when it comes to scripture, and we need to be prepared. So what about a school that doesn't claim to be Christian? What might that be in some ways a safer place? Because you get there and you're hearing things you know you don't believe, and you get in your fellowship and you know you do believe it, and it creates a black and white environment where it becomes more clear to you. Is that the case sometimes or not necessarily?
Well, I think sometimes that can be the case. I think if you go into a Christian school and you know where the professors stand and what they teach, and you've done your homework, then there shouldn't be any huge surprises. But there is the sense, you're right, where people just kind of put their guard down, assume, well, you know, it's a Christian school, so I can trust what I'm getting, and maybe aren't as critical when you go to a public school and you don't assume that anybody agrees with you. So it does make things black and white. And I had another student graduate a few years ago. He went to Cal Berkeley. And because he was solid in his faith, because he was prepared, he went there and really shined in his faith. And he told me, he said, look, it's easier to be a Christian here. And I said, how is it easier to be a Christian at Cal Berkeley? He said, because nobody's tempted to fake it. Nobody goes through the motions. It costs you something, at least socially, to be a Christian here. So either stand up or don't. So there certainly are sometimes with the right kid, when they send him to a public school, if they're ready and they're mature and they're eager, they can stand up and really thrive.
Okay, so now let's give an intellectual toolkit for those who are preparing, or maybe parents want to take this and hand it to their sons and daughters who are preparing for college. Where do we start? How do they get prepared?
Well, I think the first place it starts is at the home. I mean, Scripture consistently puts the responsibility to raise kids with the parents. Now, fortunately, the church and different conferences and different resources are out there, but parents need to personally take ownership. And is it harder if your kids are senior in high school and you're starting this as opposed to when they're younger? Sure, but it's never too late. So there was a study out of Fuller Theological Seminary called the College Transition Project. And they studied high school students who transitioned into college, and they asked, what's the most important thing parents, youth workers, caring adults could do to form their belief system? And they said, having spiritual worldview conversations with young people. And it just hit me. This is not lectures. This is creating an environment in your family where conversations are expected and they're okay, and you listen to each other and you raise important ideas. That's the first thing parents can do. And the way to have spiritual conversations is they need to take stock of their own belief system as well, because we can only take kids as far as we've gone ourselves. So number one, adults need to take seriously developing their belief system. Number two is they need to create an environment with those conversations. And then number three, start looking for all the different resources that are out there to help young people. So for example, something I absolutely unmistakably believe in, and I think it's a rite of passage for every young person, specifically before they go to college, is something called Summit Ministries.
Right.
And it's a 2-week long worldview experience for students. One's in Tennessee at Bryan College. They have them all summer at Manitou Springs, Colorado. And then I personally host one in Southern California at Biola University the last 2 weeks in June. And we bring in the best speakers on the pro-life issue, the marriage issue, the existence of God, Christianity and economics, all these kind of difficult worldview issues. And for 2 weeks, the students are there. They're hearing lectures. They're having conversations. They're having fun doing all the fun stuff that students do. But really, in a sense, inoculating them to know what they believe before they get out in the, quote, real world. And the ages are 16 to 22, but the most popular age is right before college. So I tell parents, I say, look, if you're going to spend $150,000 on college, spend $1,000 and send your kid for 2 weeks to get the best training for the most articulate and thoughtful speakers that are out there. So it starts in the family, but also take advantage of good resources that are available and get your kids there. I've met so many parents where that worldview experience is a game changer for them. In fact, Bill, a couple weeks ago, I was speaking at a conference and a homeschool mom came up. She's like, I've been teaching my kid Christian worldview his whole life and it never took. Goes to Summit, and for some reason in that environment with those people, it just turned him around, and it has changed the trajectory of his life. And I hear that quite frequently.
The term worldview is key, isn't it? It's this whole comprehensive view of everything around us, of the world, of philosophy, politics, economics, and religion, certainly. We all have a worldview. We maybe don't call it that, but a way we view things around us. And to have that reshape doesn't happen overnight. But to think about 2 weeks to be impressed with biblical values like that is incredible. Where do they find more? Should they go to Summit Ministries or is there another place? Where should people look to learn more about this?
I would just say go to summit.org. It's summit.org. And again, they have one in Tennessee, I believe in July. They have them all summer, like 7 or 8 sessions, and most of them are filling up. We have 1 or 2 availabilities in Colorado, and then the California one, we have a few spots. So parents, if this just, you know, clicked with them and they're thinking, man, I got to get my kid or someone in my church there, go to Summit right away and get your spot, because my dad and I have both been spokesmen for Summit this year, and they are filling up sooner and quicker than they ever have in the past. Because I think there's a hunger among parents, a recognition that the culture around us is changing quickly. And our young, I mean, it's unthinkable that this idea of marriage could be redefined even 3 or 5 years ago. The issue of pro-life is changing. Our culture, Pew Research shows, is maybe becoming more secular in some ways. So this is just one resource I so deeply believe in. And if you're listening, you have kids, grandkids, some young person you care about, go to summit.org and think about sending them there. It is worth every penny.
Now, let's say if someone cannot afford it, they can't get their college-age student in because, you know, it's full. What else is available? Certain books? What things do you recommend?
Well, first off, Summit does have some scholarships, so I wouldn't encourage them to give up if they can't get a scholarship. And second, look to their church. Many churches will help this kind of thing. The other thing is just to read good books. Gosh, there's a ton of good worldview books that are out there. I mean, all Lee Strobel stuff is fantastic. His book, Case for Christ, Case for the Real Jesus, Case for Creator. I pump his stuff as much as I can. I'll tell you a particular book for college-age students. That's one of my favorite. It's called Welcome to College. It's simply called Welcome to College by a friend and co-author of mine, Jonathan Morrow, M-O-R-R-O-W, Welcome to College. And he looks at all aspects of college. He looks at worldview. He looks at belief. But he also looks at simple things like finding a roommate, eating healthy, study skills, building relationships, all these important things that students are just thrust into when they go to the university. So Jonathan Morrow, Welcome to College is great. I've written some books with Jonathan. If I could recommend one apologetics worldview book, it probably would be my book, Is God Just a Human Invention? We look at the really big questions about the existence of God. Is there a real right and wrong? How could God, you know, allow slavery in the Old Testament? Does the Bible kind of have a sexually repressive worldview? All these big questions in our culture. So is God just a human invention might also be one that would help young people own their faith as well.
Okay, this is very helpful. So you've told us first, and the Bible tells us the same, we need to do our best in the home and then take advantage of resources like Summit Ministries and good books. Are there other things, Sean, that you think would really help people be prepared for college in a spiritual manner?
As far as other things to do to prepare, I would suggest that parents and students, before they go to college, number one, go find some students around you that are 1 or 2 years older, that are in college, whether it's public or private, and you look at their lives and you feel like, gosh, they're making good choices, they're standing strong, they're thriving. Have them come over for dinner, take them out for lunch, find a time where they can just talk with you there and your son or daughter there and say, gosh, what unique temptations are you facing you haven't faced before? How did you get plugged into campus groups? What's it like sitting in college? What's it like in the dorm? So they can visualize and have someone they can look at who succeeded there. I would make a point to do that. Second, before they go to college, which is coming up quickly, find the ministries on campus, whether it's Crew, formerly Caps Crusade for Christ, Navigators, local churches. Find the Christian groups and contact them ahead of time and just get in touch with them and say, hey, I'm coming in 3 months. I'm coming in 3 weeks. What do I need to do to get ready? Can we talk on the phone and build that relationship ahead of time? So when they show up on campus, they already have somebody who knows who they are. They already have someone who will connect with them. Because if you just show up at that point, it's probably too late. So number one, connect with other people ahead of time, students in college who have done well. And number two, get a hold of the Christian groups ahead of time and start a conversation, a dialogue through the summer. So when you show up, you feel known and you're already part of a group and you have people in your life that can mentor you, help support you, and really help you succeed in your faith.
That's excellent. If you're just tuning in, we have with us Sean McDowell, and we're talking about college spiritual preparation. Sean, I'd be curious to hear your answer to this. When your father came out with Evidence That Demands a Verdict, it helped a lot of people in that day and age, really, what, 20 years ago?
I think that's like 40 years
ago. Man, 40 years ago. Wow. Okay, so back then, you know, he could write a book that basically says, here are the facts, here are some quotes, just read it and you'll be fine. And it's touched a lot of lives. It still is. It's a great two-volume set. But how has the world changed since then?
I am so glad you asked this question. When my dad wrote Evidence, he would speak on college campuses, and they would get 5, 7, 10, sometimes 12,000 students. And he'd present the evidence and he'd have his resources for people. But then the atheists would show up afterwards and they'd get 50 people, maybe 100 to show up. The atheist or skeptical or non-Christian community did not have a voice outside of the classroom, of course, which was secular, but were not able to draw the crowds in the way that my dad was able to. Well, now if you Google Evidence That Demands a Verdict or More Than a Carpenter or any Christian resource, every student can find, you know, 3, 5, 10, maybe sometimes 20 responses written from the other side. So what's happened is now everybody has an equal voice on the internet. And now, because you and I have been doing this a long time, Bill, we're able to look and tell what are legitimate, you know, solid responses and which ones are just nonsense. But our students don't have the ability to have that kind of discernment. They're not able to see through it and really know what's good and what's not just because of their age and where they're at intellectually. So I actually encourage parents and youth pastors to get students ahead of time and read a book from the other side. Read a book that's against Christianity. I took 12 high school students through The God Delusion, which I was told by some of my atheist friends that this is the best atheist book that's out there. I spent 3 months and took my high school students through a Christian apologetic book, and then I took them through The God Delusion for a couple of reasons. I wanted to kind of demystify it so it didn't have this kind of aura about it, ooh, atheist stuff, this is off limits. And second, I want them to realize that in a relationship and together, if we look at these issues carefully, they're not as compelling as they might think. So I would really encourage parents or youth pastors who are listening or leaders who are out there, to start a small group, to read a book with their students. I mean, if you read the book, Is God Just a Human Invention, first, and then you read something by an atheist, and make sure you read it and have answers ahead of time and take some students through it, I think you might be surprised at how well they could see through it and have some confidence of responding to the other side.
That is really, really good, because if we hide the other side and act like it's not there, students are going to either be fearful of what they don't know, or they might start uncovering it and be overwhelmed by it. So thank you for that advice. And I want to advise parents, if you don't have a lot of exposure, tread lightly and carefully. You yourselves maybe could benefit from a good worldview conference if you don't have a good grounding to read something like The God Delusion. You may want some help walking through it yourself so you can really get into the meat of it and be helpful to those you love. Sean, you mentioned Summit Ministries being really for ages 16 to 22. What kind of resources there for the parents who maybe want to go to a good worldview event?
You know what? Summit has adult conferences, actually. They're at a different time, but Summit has adult conferences throughout the year that are 2, 3, sometimes 5 days long. So I would check out Summit resources. I mean, I've written a number of books on this. I have a number of articles and even videos online. If parents don't feel equipped with this, I would say, and their kids leaving for college in the fall, I just say they go to their kids and they say, look, it's the last summer. I know you've got a lot of stuff you want to do, but one thing we're going to do this summer while you're in my home is we're going to watch some presentations together on YouTube. We're going to read a couple books together. We'll have your friends involved. And I'm going to learn this stuff with you because it's so important to me that when you head off to college, you're prepared and you're ready to go. So I'd read a book with them. I'd watch some lectures together. There are so many good resources out there that if parents aren't the expert, they don't have to claim to be the expert. But the other thing you can do is almost every church has at least one or two people that just love apologetics. I mean, they love it. There, maybe you have a PhD in chemistry, maybe there's a lawyer, maybe there's a doctor. And I wonder if you, as a parent, find that person and say, hey, over the summer, would you take 3 high school students? Would you take 10 high school students? And would you talk through this book with them and prepare a worldview? And I want to be a part of it. I don't have the answers maybe like you do. I think there'd be a lot of people out there, a lot of churches who would be honored and thrilled to help in that way.
Yeah, what you're doing, Sean, is you're giving us confidence that wherever we're at in our understanding of Scripture, of the world, of these difficult arguments by those who don't believe in Scripture, that we can all grow together. And that's what the church should be about. Do you feel the average church is sadly under-equipped to help parents and their budding college students to handle these topics?
Well, I think one thing, I think pastors have to do everything. I mean, pastors have to preach, they have to sometimes do finance, they have to counsel, they go visit people in the hospital, they got to write messages. So we can't expect them to do everything. It's one of the most difficult jobs on the planet. So people who have that worldview training in the church, they need to go to the pastor, not and say, hey, you need to do this better, but just say, man, I've got some training in this, I have some experience. Can I help you do research on a sermon? Can I lead a small group? If you have young people come in with questions, can I counsel and help you? We need to have a body of Christ mindset and help pastors accomplish what they do. My concern is in the church, we talk about faith being about an experience and about being emotional. That's why most young people tend to believe, and that's what we preach in the church. But when I look in the Bible, yes, we experience God. Yes, we are to cultivate emotions to love God, but we should be Christians because it's true. And I wish we had a mindset as a whole in the church that just realized we are training people in every area of life to know what they believe, to go out in their profession, in their life, to make a difference for the gospel. I don't sense that urgency all the time. And second, I think we couch the whole issue of faith as just experience and emotion and personal rather than being about objective truth. So no wonder our young people go out and they have some other experience. Something else makes them feel good. They haven't been trained that it's true, so they disengage the church or they walk away from their faith. So we need an entire shift in the way we approach this subject and realize that when we talk about God and religion in the Bible, we're talking about knowledge and we're talking about truth and we're talking about a belief system that should shape the way we live in all areas of life.
And Sean, one final question. Many have seen the movie God Is Not Dead, and it both maybe encouraged some who are thinking about college and scared others because they think, could a professor really be this bad? So my question is this. Can a professor really be so antagonistic as one would see in that movie? And along with that, what hope is there? I want us to send people off from this interview with the sense that they can go to college not just to be defensive, not just to survive. They can actually help change the campus.
You know, one of the good things about God Is Not Dead is it showed clearly that there are some antagonistic professors. I don't think most professors, even who are atheists and agnostic, want to ruin the faith of their students. I think most probably mean well and want to teach and have a belief system. So I don't want to give the impression that all these professors are out there just waiting to demolish students. But I also know I've had enough students go and say, man, I was pulled out in class and I was attacked, that most students probably in a four-year career might have one or two professors like that, and they need to be ready. What concerns me more is just the different worldview belief system where the Bible is just dismissed, where we're told that things like miracles don't happen. Obviously, Darwinian evolution is true. And when students hear this over and over again, and the Bible is just dismissed as even being considered a source of knowledge, that can have just as devastating impact on their faith. Because when you have an atheist professor come right out, at least you know exactly where they're standing, you know what they're doing. But when class after class and studies show that they're far more to the left in the university and also far more likely to be atheist and agnostic, it tends to dismiss their faith. It tends to affect their faith. The other thing about God's Not Dead, my kids loved it, but there's probably not too many college students, I don't care how much they study, who are going to be able to put a talk together in a week and stand up to a professor who's a department chair in philosophy. It's not going to happen. I know it was a movie and it was fictional and all that is great. But what's more important is student needs to study. They need to sit in front, ask good questions, just simply ask questions. And if you don't know something, go find the Christian professors on campus, even if they're in a different discipline. There's some Christian professors, and go talk to them. Go talk to your pastor. Go find somebody with the answers. And then maybe go talk to your professor respectfully during office hours. I think most professors will respond if you're a good student, if you're respectful, you do your homework, you ask questions. And then guess what? Other students in the class, when they see a student respectfully asking questions, respectfully sharing the other view, I've had students do that. And then other students come and find them, and they actually become a witness to their campus.
Sean, this is all very encouraging, a lot of very helpful insights. I thank you for giving us this time, and sounds like you guys are safely moving to the next sports game.
Oh, Bill, I sure appreciate it. Thanks for great questions, and in particular, your heart for the next generation.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. And Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. Visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com, where you can download free podcasts of all Beyond Words programs.